Hi everyone, it's Dr. Trina Hess and welcome to our AATH teleseminar with Perdita Dove. And AATH is the Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor. And today's guest is Perdita Dove. She has a master's in education and she is a certified clinical hypnotherapist. And using the principles that she teaches, she has transformed her own pain and fear into joy and inner peace. Now she shares these secrets with others. Perdita is the founder of the Laughing Buddhas Network, and she's an internationally recognized author, meditation master, hypnotherapist, and trainer. She's the leading authority on expressive meditation in North America and has shared the stage with, amongst others, Dr. John Gray and Marsha Weider. Perdita has provided meditation training to organizations including the UCSF Cancer Resource Center, the San Francisco Chronicle, NASA, Peak Potentials Training Incorporated, the John C. Lincoln Hospital, National Association of Women Business Owners, National Association of Female Executives, World Laughter Tour Incorporated, and she is the author of two best-selling books, Lunchtime Enlightenment by Penguin Group, and Laughter, Tears, Silence, which have been published in 6 languages. She also teaches highly acclaimed programs such as the Laughter Meditation Teleclass Program Series. And Perdita, welcome.
Thank you, Trina, for that fabulous introduction. I am thrilled and delighted to be here today.
Great. And we're excited, too, because in your presentation, you're going to tell us how to reignite our passion for work and play, unleash our creative fire, tap into our sense of humor at will. We're going to open our heart to love, happiness, and wealth, revitalize our energy and well-being. Does all this sound good? Well, it gets even better. You'll see how this teleseminar improves your personal and professional life. You'll learn the powerful and playful laughter meditation that unlocks your authentic spirited self. Also, we'll learn the tears meditation, which deepens your capacity to heal and transforms your grief and pain into emotional stillness, love, and wisdom. It's perfect for anyone in high-stress situations, including nurses, therapists, physicians, professional or family caregivers. De-stress and teach others how to. So, Perdita, can you get us started and talk about what this expressive meditation technique is that you teach?
Yes, Trina. The expressive meditations are what they say. Most of them have 2 stages, and the first stage is where we express out from within ourselves physically, emotionally, and mentally, so that we can then in the second stage easily drop down into inner silence, inner peace, inner calm. And the best example and the most popular of the expressive techniques is the laughter meditation. So as many of you know, laughter, it just makes us feel good, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. We release a lot of stress from the physical body, and scientific research is now proving that this is to be the case. Laughter is very good for our health. It's good for us emotionally because it's a way to sort of let off steam. And it's good for us mentally because it helps to clear the mind. Right. And it's good for all our relationships because it opens the heart and it draws people to us. And it keeps us young, it keeps us creative. So the laughter meditation has many, many dimensions of benefits. So in the first stage, we just laugh. There's no talking, we just laugh. In the second stage, the sitting in silence, after all that expression and release, it's much easier to drop down into inner silence and inner peace. So the gift of this technique is it has a twofold gift, because meditation has profound benefits for our health, to keep us calm, to help us to manage stress. And again, a lot of scientific research has proven that the profound benefits of meditation.
Mm-hmm. And when you talked about it's easier to drop down into silence, what about the laughter makes the silence part easier than if we didn't use the laughter?
That's a great question, Trina. Thank you for asking that. What makes it easier? Well, A, it's fun.
Mm-hmm. Because you're more likely to do that.
Yes, you're more likely to do it because, you know, a lot of people, they don't want to get into meditation even if they feel that it's going to be good for them because it just seems too hard just to sit there and in silence, you know, just with nothing leading up to it. But when you do the laughing first, and we're going to do a short little practice of this, aren't we, about halfway through the call so everybody can get to experience it for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start with laughter, I mean, everybody loves to laugh. It's fun and it's easy. And then it's almost like in spite of ourselves, we drop into the inner silence.
Mm-hmm.
Because the laughter itself just makes it easier. And on top of that, of course, we are releasing stress.
Mm-hmm.
It helps the mind calm down, which makes the inner silence much easier.
Right. And would you say the act of making yourself laugh also changes your mental state too? So you're working physical and mental, emotional, a lot of levels at the same time. Does that help make it easier to drop down into silence?
Absolutely. You've really hit the nail on the head there, Trina, with what you said, because laughter has so many dimensions to it. And as you say, emotionally, spiritually, physically, mentally, it helps us releasing stresses and tensions and getting more in touch with our inner clarity and calm and peace.
Right, and like you said too, it's something that's accessible to people because normally when we hear the word meditation, like you said, people think it's something hard. It's above all, it's something foreign to us in Western cultures because it's not something we're used to, so we think it's something that's impossible, or otherwise we think it's a chore that we'll have to learn and study, and so we just keep pushing it away or putting it off when it's exactly what we need.
Exactly. We avoid it because, and, you know, to be honest, I mean, I have almost 30 years of meditation experience, and it is harder to just sit in silence.
Mm-hmm.
It's my personal experience, too. I mean, this is a laughter meditation that helped me get into it, and to this day, I'd always rather, you know, do some laughter first before I sit in silence.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of the other expressive techniques, too.
Mm-hmm.
But we're focused on the laughter today. Well, we're going to talk about the tears as well, I know.
Right. And where does the process come from? Is it something you originated, or did you discover it because of some experience you had? Or?
Yes, I discovered it through my teacher, Osho, when I was studying meditation in India many years ago. And it actually originated, the original Laughing Buddha was Hotei, a 16th century Japanese mystic. That's spelled Hotei. And Hotei became known as the Laughing Buddha because he was the first person historically to use laughter as a way to help people become enlightened, to become, you know, enjoy their lives more and also get the benefits of meditation. And he used to walk from village to village in Japan and just laugh, and he had a big belly, and it was said that laughter even rumbled up from his belly when he was asleep. But he taught meditation through laughter, and people would come when he came to their village with all these erudite questions about enlightenment, and he would just laugh.
Uh-huh.
And then they all started laughing because, you know, it's so infectious, and they'd forget all these questions.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when they would fall into that place of no mind, of presence, of inner tranquility that is really what meditation is. Meditation is being fully present.
Right.
And this is another gift that laughter brings us because you can't think and laugh at the same time.
Right. And the laughing is contagious. And when everyone's laughing, you lose that sense of separateness or competitiveness, and it's just kind of a whole group laughing together as one.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yet another amazing beneficial dimension of laughter, as you say, and that's why it helps so much with relationships. But basically, it brings us down from the head and into the heart,
mm-hmm.
Which is where our relationships need to be from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why everybody's on the same wavelength, and it doesn't matter if it's a boss or employee or parent or child or any kind of normal, quote, division of people, that when we're all laughing together, you know, no matter your nationality, your color, your creed, anything, everybody's united and together,
mm-hmm.
in this heart energy.
Right.
Because laughter really is synonymous with love.
Right, right.
When we...
And going back to what you just mentioned about we can't think and laugh at the same time, maybe that is a reason that people think meditation is impossible for them, because we're trained to always think and analyze and all of this, and we tend to think meditation means we have to get rid of all our thoughts, and that seems impossible. But like you mentioned in your book, the meditation isn't against the mind, it's beyond the mind, because the mind quiets down and then the ego disappears, and laughter helps that process. So it's not something we need to try to do, because once we start the laughter, then the mind naturally, or the ego naturally disappears. Is that how the process goes?
Yes, you've just given an excellent summary, Trina. That was a wonderful explanation, and that is exactly what happens, and that the power of laughter, that the mind disappears in the face of laughter. As fear disappears and as control and greed, they all disappear in the face of laughter,
mm-hmm.
and the heart takes over. And as you said, the society we live in, excuse me, and the way we raise is very mind-oriented,
mm-hmm.
and that's why it can be harder for us just to try and tackle the mind cold, so to speak.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the laughter, it just helps in a very, excuse me, I need to take a sip of water here.
And not only are we conditioned to always be in our mind, but the laughter part is good for us because we're also conditioned to be entertained. And if something isn't fun, even if it's good for us, healthy for us, we're not going to attempt it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And this is a great way we can make, you know, we can make our own fun and our own laughter.
Right.
We're not so reliant on people, as you say, people making us laugh.
Right.
Because the laughter's there inside us.
Mm-hmm.
Every child is born full of laughter.
Mm-hmm.
And our natural state is joy and happiness.
Uh-huh.
That is our natural state.
Well, would you want to try a laughter meditation, take us through the process, if we unmute everybody? And
I think that's a great idea.
Okay.
I'll get my voice back through the laughter. Little frogs appeared. Okay, so what I'm going to do is now unmute the call.
Okay.
Hello. Silent majority is there.
Okay, they've skipped the laughter tears. They're under the silence. It's your book. Okay.
Okay. So what we're going to do is this: we're just going to do a little taste, and also for those of you who are going to be listening to the recording of this, then join in now with us. What we're going to do is we're going to shout out Yahoo three times. So let's just have a practice and shout out Yahoo together now. Yahoo!
Yahoo! Yahoo!
Yahoo! Okay, that was great. So we're going to shout out Yahoo three times, and then we're going to burst out laughing for no reason at all. Nobody's going to be telling jokes, or there's no words that are to be spoken, just pure laughter. And just have fun and be playful with it. That's the first stage. And then the second stage is sitting in silence.
Okay. How long do you do laughter, and how long the silence? Are they equal parts? Or?
You always do the same amount of time of laughter and of the silence.
Okay.
And how much time you want to give it is purely up to you. You could do 30 seconds of each, a minute of each, mm-hmm. 2 minutes of each, 5 minutes of each, depending on, you know, what your circumstances are and what you feel like doing.
Right.
Today we're just going to do a very short one, just to give people a taste, to know that you can do this for any amount of time that you want, but always do the same for each stage.
Right, okay.
So when we're ready for the silence, I will mute everybody out, and I will do one chime, and that means that's the beginning of the silence. And then when we're ready to come back, I will do one chime again and unmute so we can just bring everybody back together.
Okay.
All right, everybody ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. Okay, let's go. Three yahoos. Yahoo!
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 Yahoo! Hello, everybody.
Yes, that was
hello.
Hi. We're back.
Good, okay. Good. So I think what we decided to do, wasn't it, Trina, was we'll have questions and sharings at the end of the call.
Right, uh-huh.
And so, excuse me, I'll mute everybody out again, so that we have the best quality recording, and then we'll open the lines up again towards the end of the call so we can have questions and sharing about the meditation and anything else people want to ask.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
All right.
That experience was, it reminded me of other times that, you know, a whole group of people had been laughing at something and then it was almost exhausting. And then, but without that moment, or equal period of silence, I think we don't really process or integrate the laughter, and then we lose out on something, because usually people just laugh and then it was like, oh, wow, that was funny, and then tra-la-la, you know, get on with your day, and you don't, and we don't really use the laughter in the way that we just did now doing this exercise.
Yes, you are absolutely right, Trina. You've really, you know, explained that very well. Once again, the laughter is amazing because, sort of almost on a spiritual or a mystical level, you might say, it serves as a bridge to take us deeper into our inner silence.
Mm-hmm.
Because laughter is, you know, it's a very ordinary experience. Everybody laughs, but it can give us an extraordinary experience,
mm-hmm.
a glimpse of inner silence, of inner peace, of inner calm, a glimpse of meditation. And so the laughter, in a way, it can be used as a preparation for meditation, which is really what you were just experiencing, and which is what we do experience from this two-stage technique,
mm-hmm.
is that the second stage gives us the opportunity to integrate, to drop deeper down, to take a moment, and experience ourselves from the inside, which we don't do very much because our whole lives are very outside and outer.
Right.
And having that opportunity just gives us a few moments to process and be within and be connected to ourselves. And even if it's just for a few moments, it's very, very powerful. And when you make a practice of this, and this is a very easy practice, and the more that inner space is nurtured, even if it's for a few moments a day, it grows.
Mm-hmm.
So that it, and then it, over time, and I know because this has happened to me, over time, it's always there.
Mm-hmm.
So that no matter what is going on in your life, however chaotic or in upheaval things seem to be, you have this thread of inner peace and inner calm always present,
mm-hmm.
at the root of yourself.
Right.
And then you have this inner resource so that when life goes up and down and gets hectic and chaotic, then you have something to draw on from within yourself to stay calm, because the more calm we are in a chaotic situation, the more possibility we have to come up with creative solutions,
mm-hmm.
and get things handled quickly.
Right.
And creatively, and it helps us remember to breathe, and then of course our life just goes much easier.
Right. I like the visualization you used in the book about our life is picture a stream, and if there are rocks in the stream or a fountain, I think you described it, and just because there are rocks there and the water isn't flowing doesn't mean the fountain disappeared. It just means that you need to get rid of the rocks or the blockages.
That's right.
But that water is always there. The fountain is always there, and we tend to forget that when we're under stress.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Every child is born full of laughter and joy and happiness,
mm-hmm.
and every child is born within a wisdom, within a peace, within a stillness, within a silence.
Mm-hmm.
That is the birthright of every single human being. But as you say, it gets all covered over with stress and running around like a chicken with a head cut off.
Right.
And so we get disconnected from it. So really, we don't have to go out and find this outside ourselves. This little meditation technique is very simple, two steps, but is very profound in the benefits that it can give you,
mm-hmm.
and it can reconnect you with not only our inner joy and laughter and happiness, which is anyway there,
mm-hmm.
but with our inner peace and calm and stillness and wisdom, which is anyway there.
Right.
That's the good news.
Right. And in our culture, too, we're conditioned to think positive, and the whole, you know, positive thinking idea that, you know, that was around, I don't know when it began in the 40s, but now we're almost conditioned to feel guilty if we're not happy all the time. But you say we need to give equal time to the laughter and the tears. Why would that make sense for us to balance those out?
Well, the reason is because the tears or the grief or the pain, it's there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because part of life is to experience death.
Mm-hmm.
And death brings grief and pain to those around the person who's passed. And, I mean, there's also, you know, some people have painful childhoods and are abused, or some people, you know, they're married and suddenly the person isn't in love with them anymore, and this is painful. I mean, it's part of life to experience pain.
Mm-hmm.
Not suffering, that's another point we can talk about
okay.
later on if we like, but pain is a part of life, as is grief. And so to deny it and try and pretend to be happy all the time is false. We're not being real. We're not being authentic. So what I share with people in my book and all my programs is that when you can find the courage to face your pain and your grief, then that's where the healing is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's often fear that prevents us from allowing and facing our pain and grief.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem with that is that we create an extra layer of pain, psychological pain. So there's the original pain, and then there's the extra layer of pain we're creating by being in denial of our pain.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually make it worse.
Mm-hmm.
So our problems worsen when we think about our emotions rather than actually experiencing them.
Right.
Because the fear of them is never as bad as when you experience them, and I can speak from my own experience there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that reality isn't the problem, it's our ideas about them.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually have a tremendous capacity to adjust to reality, but we can't adjust to the future. We can only adjust to what is there now.
Okay.
So if we are willing to be with our pain and grief when it is there and allow it, and there's quite a number of meditation techniques in my book, which is called Laughter, Tears, Silence, by the way,
right.
To be present with the pain and grief, that is how it will heal. Because if we want pretending to be happy to make the pain go away, that's kind of like wanting 2 + 2 = 5.
Right.
Because it just never will.
Mm-hmm.
So the solution is to accept that pain exists as a way to take you deeper into yourself, into wisdom and maturity.
Right.
Because that is the payoff, if you like, from facing and feeling our pain, is it brings us maturity and wisdom and tremendous compassion.
Well, can you talk a little bit more about healing pain through the meditation techniques? Is it something separate from the laughter exercise that we just did now? Are we supposed to laugh at our pain? Or
no, you're not supposed to laugh at your pain. A good example of a tears or a pain or a grief meditation
mm-hmm.
would be the same format as the laughter, except in the first stage, instead of laughing, you sit and allow your pain or your grief. You might want to play some music that would help you to feel the pain and grief, like Mozart's Requiem, or there's plenty of pop songs around about love lost and so on. Some music that would sort of help trigger the pain in a way, because you really want to feel it, because the healing is in the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the second stage, you would just sit in silence, as we just did with the laughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you move from the feeling state of the first stage of feeling the grief, and in the second stage, you drop deeper down into your inner silence, inner wisdom, and inner peace. And, you know, something like, you know, the death of a loved one, that's not ever something we're going to be happy about.
Mm-hmm.
But we can be at peace with it. We can find a way to be at peace with it
mm-hmm.
and accept it. And that is where these these tears meditations help with that.
Right. And I, in your book, when you mentioned about playing music or different, doing different things to make yourself feel that sadness, that I had that experience just in January when I had several losses, and I kept listening to the song. I can't remember who sings it, but it's called God Only Cries for the Living.
Mm-hmm.
And normally we try to, you know, distract ourselves or find something to make us laugh, and we want to rush out of that sadness. But I just, it just felt so relaxing or refreshing, mm-hmm. just playing that song over and over again, and I was crying every time I heard it, but then eventually I didn't need to cry again. But
yes.
I think we have to allow ourselves to do that, and even like you said, make yourself play music that will make yourself cry and
yes,
acknowledge that emotion too.
That's a beautiful example you've just given, Trina, of your own personal experience. But I just want to say it's not about making yourself cry, because
it's not about forcing anything.
It's not about forcing, because actually you can't force tears. You can force laughter. You can fake it up, which is a fine to do that with laughter.
Right.
But pain and grief is a kind of opposite energy. It's about allowing.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of non-doing. Laughter is doing. It's a doing energy.
Okay.
Tears, grief, pain is not a doing, it's an allowing.
Okay.
So the way you describe what happened to you with that song is exactly the way it really works, is that the music touched your heart,
mm-hmm.
and the tears just flowed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that you did anything. You weren't forcing yourself or anything. But the grief is in the heart.
Right, and I was just letting myself keep pushing play over and over again
instead of
forcing myself to stop
and
try and get on with your day.
You were doing exactly the right thing. You were allowing the tears.
Mm-hmm.
You were inviting them forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want to do, because tears are healing. I mean, there's a reason we have tear ducts, you know, tear glands. There's a reason that we cry,
mm-hmm.
because we need to cry. It's very refreshing. It's very healing, you know, physiologically, mentally, emotionally. It heals the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, tears are the language of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And if the heart has become frozen, the tears are like the beginning of the thaw.
Right.
And the more we allow the tears, the more the heart is melting.
Mm-hmm.
And when the tears are coming like a flood, we must not judge them. Because with their coming, it means our heart is functioning again. It starts getting warm and it becomes alive.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as we saw the garden of our heart, love begins to grow like a flower.
Mm-hmm.
So tears are also kind of like a prayer.
Right.
They cleanse our spiritual vision. So we shouldn't never try and interpret or analyze our tears, because words are inadequate. Because if we can allow our tears totally, we become one with ourselves, with our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And
our authentic.
We are authentic selves. Yes, there's no pretending, there's no faking. It's just, I'm sad right now, and it's okay to be sad. Because
right.
sadness has its own beauty.
Mm-hmm.
It brings us maturity. It brings us compassion. And it's a part. It's like, you know, our spiritual nurturing is fed by the sunshine of our laughter and the rain of our tears.
Mm-hmm.
And it's how we grow. And this is the same in nature. I mean, plants need rain.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this combination that brings the greatest happiness and peace we could wish for.
Well, would it have been inappropriate during that time of loss for me to do one of the laughter meditation exercises, because you said we force ourselves to laugh for no reason? Would that have been helpful then, or do you suggest keeping the two separate? If it's a sad time, do all of the tears meditations and do the laughter only when you feel happy? Or
well, that's a another really great question, Trina. And it's reminding me of when my dad died, and I love my dad very, very much, so I was very sad, and there was a lot of tears. But on the other hand, my dad loved to laugh. He was always telling jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew he wouldn't want me to be going around all miserable because he'd passed.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happened was sometimes I was laughing and sometimes I was crying.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't plan it. I didn't force myself to either. I didn't say, okay, now I'm going to laugh or now I'm going to cry. What I did was I just allowed my feelings to be what they were.
Mm-hmm.
So if I felt like laughing and doing a laughter meditation, that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
If I felt like crying and allowing the sadness and the grief, that's what I did.
Right.
So it's not decided by the mind. It's actually following your heart and allowing your feelings and letting your heart decide if you feel like laughing or if you feel like crying. And either is okay. I mean, it would have been perfectly fine for you to be laughing at that time of loss if that's what you felt like doing.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was only tears and sadness, then stay with that. Because the thing is, it will shift naturally at some point.
Okay.
Nobody's ever going to always stay in the sadness.
Right.
At some point, it will shift to the opposite energy, which is laughter and joy.
Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned in your book, too, that it's kind of a natural automatic continuum that we laugh until we cry from laughing, and then when we're crying, we get to a point where we're kind of, I don't want to say over it, but we're able to laugh again.
If the energy shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's just like an energy shift,
mm-hmm.
going from one end of the pendulum to the other, if you like. It's the comedy and tragedy of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which has been written about down the ages from Shakespeare onwards and so on, that this is the very nature of life itself. And you know, really, we are always in some part of the continuum.
Mm-hmm.
We're either more on the laughter side one day or one morning, or another day we might be more on the sadness part.
Right.
And that's how life is. And it's kind of like a dance.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you've done the meditation part as well, where you drop down into it, you're in the silence, then there's that third place, which is neither laughter nor tears, where you can drop down into your inner silence and inner peace and inner wisdom, which is a deeper place. And from that place of wisdom and knowing, we know that we can encompass both laughter and tears, both the comedy of life and the tragedy of life, from that place of wisdom and calm and peace,
right.
And that we're okay.
Mm-hmm. And I love how you describe meditation as it's simply about paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, you know, a certain way we sit or a book we read or a chant we do, but it's any activity that we do can be a meditation as long as we're paying attention. And you had a section in your book about physical exercises and being and starting with paying attention to your body and what your physical objective reality is and starting from there. Can you talk more about, like you mentioned too, that's where that split starts when we first learn to walk. Do you want to explain about?
Yes. So really, first of all, I think I should just say, let's just define what meditation is and what it is not.
Okay.
Meditation is not a technique.
Mm-hmm.
Meditation is a quality of presence.
Okay.
A quality of paying attention, a quality of awareness, mm-hmm. that we can bring to any moment of our day. It's not about the activity we're doing. It's about the quality of our presence with the activity.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, we could be in the shower, and if you are fully present with yourself in the shower, enjoying the hot water on your body and maybe singing and, you know, shampooing your hair, and fully present there, then that's your shower meditation.
Right.
But if you're in the shower and you're thinking about the day ahead and you're not present, that's not meditation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about the quality of our presence, and then the beauty of this understanding is that then anything can be a meditation. So, you know, cleaning the kitchen floor, taking out the trash, driving your car. It's about bringing that quality of presence.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are in meditation. And if your mind is taking you off to the future or the past, that's not meditation.
Mm-hmm.
It's really very simple.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's just not always easy.
Right. Well, what would you suggest or some easy steps to get started with people who are already frazzled with so much that they have to do and then, you know, to think about now I have to add a meditation sequence to my day. What's an easy way for people to get started?
Well, the easiest way is first of all to understand what I just said about,
mm-hmm.
because once you understand what meditation is, then
right.
you're not adding anything to
right,
your
that's
day.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. Just integrating it.
You're just mm-hmm. bringing presence to what you're already doing,
mm-hmm.
driving your car, getting dressed, cooking dinner, but just bring that quality of presence. And, mm-hmm. you know if you're present or not.
Right.
It's either you are or you're not.
mm-hmm.
And so that's how you can start with that practice, is just mm-hmm. bring attention to being fully present.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might use the word focused. It's the same thing.
Right. And I want to mention something about you said when we project into the future, we can't be meditating because it's only this moment. But what about goal setting and a lot of practices that we've been trained that we need to have 5-year plan and a 1-year plan and all of this? And you talk about when we have something, a goal can be, you know, not a good thing because it's based on a desire for something which is based on expectations. Do you want to talk about that whole process and how we can still do goal setting but still be in a meditative state?
Yes, that's a very good point you raise here, Trina. So contentment is being happy with what is right now,
mm-hmm.
whatever you have in your life in this moment right now, and being content with that. Desire is always looking like the horizon. It's always somewhere there in the future.
Right.
And so desire brings discontent because, well, discontent is hell.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's always in the future. It's not now, and it takes us away from enjoying the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
So step one is be in the present. And step two, it's fine to have goals. It's absolutely fine. You have a 1-year goal or and a 5-year plan and all those good things. It's just to not be too caught up in what is going to happen and what you want to have happen and miss the present moment.
Right.
Miss the joy of the present moment and kind of, because what I've seen a lot of people do is, you know, if you have, say, a 5-year plan, 5-year goal, I mean, there's steps along the way.
Right.
You know, and then you should probably have all those steps in your plan. And so acknowledge where you are now. You're not at the goal yet.
Right.
But you are at this place towards it. You are making progress, and that's good. And enjoy that and be present with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a self-awareness, you know, a sort of self-monitoring technique to remember that the only place we are is here now.
Right. So would you say a good way to be to do that would be to say this is my goal, but also give equal time to it. But if this doesn't materialize, that's okay too.
Yes, and in any way, it's not even about if it doesn't materialize because we don't know yet because it's
okay.
in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more this is my goal. And these are the steps. And today, right now, because we can only know about right now,
mm-hmm.
I am very happy with my life right now. Certain things have happened towards my goal, which is excellent. And so I'm happy about everything that's going on right now. And then the next day is again right now, because really we're only ever in now, aren't we?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And really what this is about is you have to learn to watch the mind, because the mind has this habit of zooming off into the future and then starts saying to us, oh, well, you know, you're not there yet, and look at this and look at that, and you haven't done this and you should have done that. Now, this is where we need to learn to witness the mind and not get caught up into negative thoughts that the mind brings in, but to learn to stay present and just let the mind pass by. I mean, that's a huge topic. That could be a whole hour we talk about the mind. But that's all in my book.
Right.
All of this is, you know, is far more in my book, obviously, than we can talk about here. But that's what we have to watch, is because the mind, in the mind contains fear and greed. So that's why the mind's always rushing off into the future, saying, oh, you know, in 5 years you'll have $1 billion and all this kind of thing. And it's like, yes, well, we might and we might not, but what do we have now? So that we can be happy with what we have now.
Right.
And also, of course, the mind can just keep dragging up the past as well, which can be unhelpful. So again, we want to stay in the present moment. And that's really the whole art of meditation, is the disidentification from the mind and learning to be in the present moment.
Right.
Which doesn't mean we repress the mind or force it to be quiet. We don't do any of that. We just let the mind pass by.
Right.
Those are the five magic words for the mind. Let the mind pass by. Just let it pass by and come back to the present.
Right. I have another five words, too. Do we have any questions from the callers? You might want to be, you might have.
Oh, well, let me unmute.
Oh, okay.
So we can hear them.
Otherwise, I'm going to keep asking my questions.
Yes, I'd like to make a comment. I don't know that I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, great. No, this was great. This was great. Doctor, thank you for taking the time. In fact, I just posted.
Hello?
And it stated that happiness is your natural state of being. You are happy when you are nothing else. So that's a great, great way of viewing it. And then the concept that you put out as far as identifying meditation, I love it, because I meditate a heck of a lot more times than I thought. I love the concept of being focused. In fact, in the 70s, I got to be with some people that had written the book, or did the music, the Golden Voyage tapes. That was Robert Burns and Ron Dexter in a book called The Awakening, Electromagnetic Spectrum. And Robert always talked about taking the moment and dancing with it. And that's always been somewhat difficult to have happen. But so great. This was well worth my time and my effort.
Well, good.
Well, thank you, Ron.
Yes.
Yes, and I would just like at this point to mention that the name of my book is Laughter, Tears, Silence, Expressive Meditations to Calm Your Mind and Open Your Heart. And there's a lot more in there than we've been talking about, obviously. And you can get that online anywhere books are sold. And also from my website, www.discovermeditation.com.
Great. And I wanted to add, too, that in the descriptions of your exercises, too, you mentioned that you have your own CD that has the separate timing, so you can make each of these equal, the laughter part, the silence part, and then you also have music and other a lot of resources to make the meditation easy and fun and doable for anyone.
Yeah. Yes, I do. I certainly do, Trina, because that is my whole effort, because I've had such tremendous benefits from meditation myself and from doing all these techniques. There's over 150 techniques in my new book, Laughter, Tears, Silence, and I also have CDs to help you whatever method appeals to you. The method doesn't matter, just that it appeals to you and you enjoy it.
Right.
Yes?
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Do you have another question?
Okay.
Checking in on my email was work, because I told him I would try to do some work from home today.
Yeah, did you say your website was discovermeditation.com?
Yes.
Okay. Well, why is that not showing up for me? Okay, we'll figure it out.
Okay.
I'm sure I'll find it somewhere, right?
Yeah, sometimes people spell meditation wrong.
Oh.
They put mediation instead of meditation.
Oh, that's... Maybe that's what I'm doing. Discover mediation. That'd be another great concept.
Uh-huh. Every time I read in your book about stillness, I kept reading silliness, and then I had to go back, oh, okay, it's stillness.
That's a good combination, though.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, and there's one other thing I wanted to mention for everybody listening is that I'm the founder of the Laughing Buddhas Network, and that is free to join. And then you'll get my Laughing Buddhas Network newsletter, which is full of laughter tips and wisdom for living a rich life and weekly meditations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on my website, too, discovermeditation.com.
Great.
Great.
Do you have any more questions? Any caller questions? Brigido, I wanted to... go back to talking about the laughter meditation.
Mm-hmm.
Would you consider laughter to be the thing that, like, is it the other complete extreme of silence? Because laughter is something we're not, you know, we're supposed to be serious about things and be successful in all of this. I mean, you could have an anger meditation, but anger is something we're already encouraged. I mean, that's acceptable to express, or other things. Is what quality about laughter makes it so successful to drop down into silence, or makes it easier to drop down into silence?
I'm just going to say something about the difference between seriousness and sincerity.
Mm-hmm.
As you so rightly said, we are raised, you know, once we move from childhood to adulthood, we suddenly become very serious.
Mm-hmm.
And what the laughter does, it helps us to be more sincere.
Okay.
The tears meditation does that too, as
uh-huh.
we already mentioned. Because when we're fully laughing, we're being totally real and
right.
authentic. And that's what helps us to drop into the inner silence, which is also real and authentic inside of us. So the laughter is helping us to come into alignment with our natural state.
Okay.
Which is the sincerity, which comes from the heart, the inner silence, the inner wisdom, and the joy in our natural state of happiness, which is all our birthright. It brings us into, it helps to bring us into alignment with all of that naturally, easily, and in a fun way.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, it's why it's so popular, because why not have fun? You know, we've been taught that, you know, I was certainly taught that life was difficult and a struggle. That's the way I was raised.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really buy into that. I thought surely there must be a nicer way of doing life, and I found it.
Right.
Through laughter meditation and all the meditations, all the different expressive meditations, and just understanding that life can be any way we want to create it, our lives can, and this is what gives us the connection to our authentic self.
Mm-hmm.
So that we get to know ourselves and know what makes us tick, you know, what our passion is, what brings us joy, what brings us happiness.
Great.
It's different for everybody.
Right.
And this is, yet another gift from the laughter.
Mm-hmm. And once we know ourselves and our more authentic nature, that makes all the goal setting and everything easier, because it's not forced. We just keep doing things that we enjoy, and then
Exactly. Eventually
we get to the goal.
Right, and remembering, in a way, goals are never reached because we're always in the now.
Mm-hmm.
And, that's not quite true. I mean, we can reach a goal in the now, but then the mind's going to come up with another goal.
Right. Uh-huh.
And we have to be careful of getting on that treadmill
right.
of always trying to sort of reach to somewhere in the future.
Right.
That's why it's important. It's fine to have goals, but it's important to enjoy the now, enjoy where we are now
mm-hmm.
on this call, which I'm enjoying.
Yeah, I'm enjoying too.
I'm having a great time.
Huh. Do we have any more questions from callers?
Well, may I mention here
yes.
my Laughter Meditation 101 teleclass program,
okay.
which is going to start at the beginning of September. And this is a great way for anybody interested in laughter meditation and taking it further and or learning more about meditation. And we also talk about the other side, the tears as well. And it's 1 hour a month for 6 months, and all the calls are recorded. And it's really a great way to get started. And there's information on that on the homepage of www.discovermeditation.com.
Okay.
And I'd love to have AATH members and friends and members be a part of it, because everybody's already really understanding the value of laughter and humor.
Right.
And this is a way to just sort of take things deeper.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, before we go, I want to bring it back to the laughter and the sense of humor. In your book, you mentioned about having expectations, and that's always rooted in desire and things in the future, but you said once you become aware of your expectations, instead of trying to ignore them or push them away, just be aware of them. That awareness creates a distance from your attachment to outcomes. So would that help to unleash your sense of humor and your ability to laugh? And
absolutely. It comes down to the awareness, because when we're more aware and understanding of all these things we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
because it's expectations lead to disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
If we expect a thing to turn out a certain way and it doesn't, then there's the disappointment. But we can still have expectations. It's just to be aware that that's what it is. It's an expectation. It's not a reality. It's not a fact. It's not in the now. It's a hope for something in the future.
Right.
And that's fine as long as we are aware that it's not a reality yet.
Right.
And it might not be.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's easier if the thing, of course, if the thing works out, everything's great. But if it doesn't, then it's easier to be with the disappointment, because we weren't that hyped up about it anyway in the first place. We had a kind of realistic awareness about this expectation with the possibility it might not happen.
Right. So it's kind of like we're existing on an even keel
between yes.
that continuum of the tears and laughter, and just being aware that that continuum is always there, and to not fight it or force it, but just kind of acknowledge it.
Yes, and allow and accept what is.
Mm-hmm.
And we can only do that in the present moment, because everything else is projection into the future,
right.
which is unknown.
Right.
I mean, obviously certain things have a good possibility of working out, but we don't know that till it comes into our present moment reality.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it just helps us stay grounded in reality with our real selves.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes life, this is my experience, because I've been doing this for over 25 years, it makes life easier, so that when, you know, the ups and downs happen, it's like, you know, a boat in a storm. the ocean gets, the waves kind of send the boat up and down, but if the boat has an anchor,
mm-hmm.
anchoring it deep to the ocean floor, which is calm and peaceful,
mm-hmm.
then it will get buffeted around by the waves, but it will stay anchored.
Right.
And that's what meditation can give us. It's like having this inner anchor, so that when life gets a bit hairy, we still have that inner anchor to keep us grounded and calm and clear. And then our creativity is there and we handle things it's more easily.
Mm-hmm. And when you're relaxed, you can accomplish anything, right?
Absolutely.
That's right. Well, Progito, thank you for all of your insight and your meditation exercises and for coming up with this brilliant and usable meditation technique.
Well, you're very, very welcome. I've very much enjoyed this call. And if anybody has any further questions, you're very welcome to email me through www.discovermeditation.com, and I'm very happy to continue the conversation with anybody that wants to do that.
Great, excellent. And thank you to all the callers, and thank you to AATH, the Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor, and thank you again for Gito.
Well, thank you, Dr. Trina Hess. You've been an amazing interviewer. And also I want to thank the callers, everybody listening, and AATH for this amazing, wonderful experience.
Yes, Pragito Dove, laughter, tears, silence, expressive meditations to calm your mind and open your heart. Thank you, Pragito.
Thank you, Trina.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.